Right now, Fort Worth is experiencing a record number of homicides, 15-year high. Police there are trying gun buyback programs. Bring in a gun, any gun, get a $50 gift card. And the idea here is fewer guns on the streets, less crime. Here's Fort Worth Lieutenant Greg Weathers.
Yeah, we actually have the cars pull in. The officers will hand them a ticket. They will take the weapon. They'll make sure the weapon is secure and unloaded. Then they will receive a $50 gift card once all the processing and verification has been done.
But the buyback hasn't been working out quite as planned. Texas Standard investigative reporter Alon Stevens, you witnessed one of these buybacks, right?
Right. But even while the police are trying to buy guns, just a few feet away, they've got competition.
Pay cash.
More than 50.
What do you got?
Just that old shotgun. Can we take a look at it?
Yeah. Have a beating more.
Okay.
So what you've got right there in the street is this instant arms bazaar. With $50 gift cards, police can't compete with someone standing right beside them, willing to offer more. So when you hear this, some of the rhetoric about getting guns off the street from the, you know, police chiefs and departments like Fort Worth right here, do you think that's an admirable mission? Do you think this is a waste of time?
It's definitely possible for it to be both. I mean, in practicality, whether or not this is useful to the public, it's debatable.
So what if I told you that when it comes to their duty weapons, that Fort Worth Police Department actually sells those back to the public?
So they're putting guns on the street, just like they're trying to take guns off the street here. So it doesn't make sense. They're doing something counter to what they're saying they want to do today. Hypocrisy.
Yep, that's right. When it comes to their own weapons, the ones officers carry, they put those back on the streets. And this is where our story begins. Because you see, Fort Worth is not alone when it comes to selling its guns. This happens all over the country. Take, for instance, this ad from a gun store in North Carolina.
Hey, everybody. Ben with Classic Firearms here. And we have a really nice police law enforcement trade-in handgun to show you today. The mags release just very smooth and beautifully. They're on sale right now. Merry Christmas, folks. We appreciate
And I wanted to know how many departments sell their guns in my home state of Texas. I requested records from the 50 largest law enforcement agencies in the state, and I found in the last decade, 21 of them sold weapons, putting more than 10,000 guns back on the streets. Fort Worth alone sold more than 1,000. I wanted to find out why. It took a lot of phone calls, but I eventually reached
Sergeant Mark, M-A-R-C, Povero, P-O-V-E-R-O, and I'm a public information officer with Fort Worth Police Department.
I ask why his department sells its used weapons. He says they need the cash. Selling their old guns helps them pay for new and better ones.
As far as our firearms are concerned, you know, we always want to have the best firearms that are operational and safe. Obviously, police officers have to have reliable equipment. So anytime that equipment gets to an age where we've agreed to have it sold back to the distributor, then we're going to do that.
The distributor is actually a gun store, which is an important distinction for Povero. The way he sees it, technically, they aren't selling guns back to the public.
I can assure you nothing ever goes straight from the police department to a person's hand. That's not how we operate.
But that is how the distributors operate. These gun stores turn around and sell police guns to the public at a discount. Now, remember, we're talking about 10,000 guns in Texas alone, enough to arm an entire army division, making it pretty likely that a police gun could fall into the hands of a criminal, right?
Let me just say, I'm being real patient with you, all right? Because I know where you're trying to go with it. You know, I'm not going to buy into, you know, let's get into a conversation about morals and ethics, all right? You know, I'm a moral and ethical person in my mind. But let's stick with the facts. We had a contract with the distributor, and we abided by it. Fair enough?
I wondered if selling their used guns raises ethical issues for other police departments. Here's Chief Greg Stevens from the Lubbock Police.
The decisions I make are data-driven. I'm not a knee-jerk person, and I make very few emotional decisions. I fully recognize the fact that absolutely one of our guns could fall into the hands of a criminal. You know, that thought, that emotion, that chance isn't enough for me to change what is, in essence, a business decision. But hard data is.
And just like Chief Stevens, I wanted to get real-world information about whether old police guns are used in crimes. So I go to the remote hills of West Virginia to find a guy named Scott Thomason.
Yeah, I'm here. I think I'm here.
I think... No, you're not. I think you passed it.
Oh, I passed it. Okay.
Okay, so I'm...
For decades, Thomason worked undercover as an agent for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Now he's retired to a more genteel life, nestled in a modern homestead on a large plot of land. When I finally find him, I'm greeted by his two feisty dogs.
Hi. How are you doing?
These days, he looks like someone who'd be a high school football coach. Big, stocky, with a mean mustache. But years ago, he worked as an undercover arms trafficker. He remembers brokering a deal with a man named Chris, a neo-Nazi who robbed a cartel and was looking to offload guns and drugs.
I wanted to buy a gun, and I wanted to see if he had any other cocaine he could sell. Now, he said he didn't have any other cocaine anymore, but they might have a gun. I ended up meeting him, I think it was about 3 or 4 hours later, in a hotel parking lot, and he sold me a Smith & Wesson revolver, a big chrome, shiny handgun revolver. You know, it's kind of an old school firearm, but I do notice there's a San Diego Sheriff's Department symbol on it.
Scott closes the deal. Then he calls the San Diego Sheriff's Department and he drops a bomb on them. He found one of their guns in the hands of a drug dealer.
And there was a long silence and pause on the phone, and I said, I'm calling to find out if this was stolen, if there's some crimes associated with it, or the set of circumstances why I'd be in possession of this firearm.
San Diego looks into it and discovers the weapon was one of many that the Sheriff's Department had sold. They call back Thomason and tell him they're reversing their policy of selling guns.
They were horrified that a revolver that was once carried by a police officer could have injured another law enforcement officer or somebody else because it was in the hands of criminals.
Thomason is by no means anti-gun. He owns weapons and teaches shooting courses. We even do some target practice on his property, where he shows me a favorite gun used by police.
So we've got a Glock 23. It's a 40 caliber. It's extremely reliable, extremely durable, and in a stressful situation, it can operate off of rote memory and through training.
Which he says is exactly why criminals like it too. And police aren't just selling handguns. In the course of my reporting, I found that police departments all over the country sell, well, everything. Shotguns and precision sniper rifles. Military-grade weapons like the Colt Commando and MP5. One Texas Sheriff's Department would sell fully automatic Uzis for just $300. St. Louis sold Tommy guns from the 1920s. If you want it, they had it. And like the Lubbock police chief, I wanted to see if I could find out how often these guns show up in murders, robberies, and assaults.
What if I told you I was going to string that thread together to find out how many sold police guns ended up in crimes? What would you say to that endeavor?
Good luck. Good luck.
I decide to go to the source. I request information from ATF headquarters, what they call trace data, and I wait. For 2 months before they tell me they lost my request. 6 months later, and still no data. But they do invite us to visit their National Tracing Center in West Virginia, where hundreds of employees perform traces, tracking guns used in crimes back to where they came from. We sent a producer who joined a group of other journalists touring the facility.
A big part of what we do here is kind of like, it's kind of like shift work.
Neil Trotman with the ATF leads the tour. He shows the group a room that looks like a call center.
Hi, it's Dana Coyne from the ATF National Tracing Center. I have a trace for you.
Thank you.
It's a 9mm pistol.
There are also rooms where agents scroll through microfilm and sift through boxes upon boxes of paperwork.
The building manager at one point in time, probably about 10 years ago or so, determined that capacity to be about 10,000 boxes. We started having a safety issue where the floors were kind of buckling a little bit.
So they started bringing in shipping containers, like what you see on tractor trailer trucks.
I just double checked. We're up to 28 of these shipping containers now, each containing another 500 or 1,000 boxes, somewhere in that range. Yeah,
like that. Back inside, Agent Trotman explains why the process is so archaic.
Essentially, what we're prohibited from doing is establishing any sort of a searchable or perceived database of gun ownership. And working within the... Let me start that part over. Okay.
It's a question that touches on the sensitive politics around gun control.
The law restricts... Man, I don't even want to say it that way.
The ATF is prohibited from creating anything resembling a searchable database of gun buyers. It's tied to this fear that such a database could be used to disarm Americans. So the ATF is stuck in an analog time capsule. And when it comes to the data I'm looking for, which could show how many police weapons are picked up at crime scenes, even if they tried to figure that out, they couldn't tell me. But it wasn't always that way. You see, back in the late 1990s, tracing information was public. There was a series of articles about police guns and crimes, like the one with ATF agent Thomason. Recycled cop guns were showing up everywhere. Gang murders in New York, a homicide in St. Louis, a white supremacist used one to fire on a Jewish community center. In 1998, the Denver Post estimated that police guns were found in the hands of criminals 3 times a day. Cities also start using this tracing information to file lawsuits against gun stores and gun makers. Gun manufacturers and lobbyists launch a counterstrike. They enlist Congress and push back with new rules on guns. Gun sellers can no longer be taken to court. A 10-year ban on assault weapons is lifted. And most importantly, they go after the very information itself. Through something called the TIART Amendment, tracing data cannot be released to the public. To this day, the National Rifle Association contends the tracing data serves no useful purpose. These days, when it comes to used cop guns and crimes, all the ATF can say is, yeah, they see them in traces, but the details, they're top secret. When we asked Neil Trotman if even the police, say in Lubbock, could get data to figure out where their old cop guns were going,
actually, with the regulations as they are and the laws as they are, I'm not sure that we could, but that might be something that would be discussed at a higher level because it's among law enforcement and it's with our law enforcement partners.
For chiefs like Greg Stevens, that lack of information, it puts them in a tough position. Do they sell guns to make ends meet, possibly at the expense of public safety? A few days after 58 people were killed at a music festival in Las Vegas, I asked Chief Stevens whether mass shootings like that one make him think twice about selling his used police guns.
It would certainly give me pause. I can tell you that this interview and the story that you're doing, I will reflect on it, and it'll make me certainly consider that, and certainly the possibility that they could be used in the future in some instance, like the Vegas event, the tragedy in Vegas, is certainly something to look at.
Alon Stevens is an investigative reporter for the Texas Standard. This story was reported in collaboration with Reveal. Alon and Reveal still want to find out how often police guns show up in crimes. After email and phone conversations with the ATF, the agency went silent on their specific request. Reveal is now suing for that information. To find out more about the investigation, go to texasstandard.org/blowback.